Sean, lead us in a simple prayer. Father, I have your word and I believe it's true. I am everything it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I was talking a little bit about the liberty and freedom. And you know, we can't have real liberty or freedom without responsibility. Okay? And those who want freedom and liberty without responsibility, that really is anarchy. And we talked about that last week. Because liberty and freedom gives the individual the freedom of self-determination, correct? That is correct. Today we're going to talk about this self-determination and the war that goes on inside of us. Okay? Each and every one of us struggle inside of ourselves. There isn't a day that goes by that we don't struggle. Some of us struggle in little things, some of us struggle with major things. But compared to God, they're nothing. Okay? And if you believe His Word, you should be able to shake this stuff off and have, I wouldn't say the end of this warring that's going on inside of us, but understanding how this war has started and where do we go with this understanding. Turn to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, starting in verse 1, we'll read to verse 19. And this is really, we all know the story, but I just want to highlight some points today in order to get us to understand some basic spiritual truths. Amen? Verse 1 says, Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the trees in the garden. But God said, you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not surely die,' says the serpent to the woman. 'For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and desirable to gain wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it." He was there watching this all going down. As we continue. "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord said to him, 'Where are you?' And he answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, and he told, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?' And the man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit to eat from the tree, and I did eat.' And the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you've done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' And so the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and he will strike, and you will strike his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. But by the sweat of your brow, you will eat the food until you return to the ground. And since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. There is so much in there, I could spend months taking it apart. But I want you to understand what happens when we think about making a decision and how it affects our lives. We feel we have the right to make those decisions. Who feels like that? You're liars, all of you. Because you all make decisions without consulting God. That's the fact. We all do. And the sum total of our decisions is our life. And so I want us to see five things that happens that creates this warfare within us that eventually we have to work out. And if we apply certain things, our decisions for life will turn out. One, Satan is able to deceive us because we are spiritually ignorant of the war around us and the war that's going on in us. In other words, what I'm saying is, we don't think there's a warfare going out there. But we're wrestling within ourselves the truth that God is trying to get us to realize to be part of our lives. And so we war against truth. This war is contained within our minds where our emotions get tied in. If God has said something to me to do, I could either by faith begin to do those things that God has told me to do, or I can put conditions on things and say that God said to do this. But is that faith? No, it's not faith. It's not faith. Why? Because if God said it, we should just do it. Irregardless of the circumstances, irregardless of the conditions we put on that situation. Two, Satan deceives us because we don't know the Word of God accurately. So we do what we feel like doing, not necessarily what God says to do. You see, Eve saw that it was good, and it was desires. Her emotions got tied into this. And a lot of times we make decisions based out of our emotions, not on the Word of God. A lot of times we fight within ourselves trying to implement these principles that God has said to do, but yet I want to do what I want to do. And this warfare goes on. And because we're wrestling with this and we're wrestling with God with that, and it's okay to wrestle with God. It is. I don't want you to think that it's not. But wrestle with Him with His Word, what He says. And that's why you hear me say to certain individuals from time to time, so, what's God saying to you? Really, that's. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to make a decision that will hurt you and hurt the body of Christ. When one hurts, they all hurt. See, your decision does matter to God. And it matters how He's going to proceed in your life and the life of this church. Because we're all tied together whether we want to admit to it or not. Those who are not here have reasons why they're not here. And we should pray for them, and we should constantly seek them out to find out what's going on, and really just keep in touch with them. Not that we want to influence them, but to let them know we love them. We miss them. They're important to us. I mean, that's what family's supposed to do. Three, we willfully disobey the Word of God because self-determination is from our fallen nature and is the driving force behind our very being. In other words, what I'm saying here is, when we go to the cross, did Jesus take care of our self nature? No, He did not. He took care of our sin. He atoned for our sin, and thereby the liberty that we have been set free from the bondage of sin. We now have to make a decision where we're going to either serve ourselves or serve God. And so we war. We wrestle within ourselves these things. And Satan loves it. If we would just submit to God. As James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That sounds easier than it's done. But you know what? God is faithful. As he deals with us, and as we submit ourselves to him, and our will to him, and our lives to him, it does get easier. It doesn't stop, but it does get easier. And so what happens is we open up avenues for the Holy Spirit to start digging within our hearts to get that junk that's in there out. So that we can love each other better. Love God better. There won't be any conditions on us. I love Gary, but it's no but. We love. I'm told by the scriptures to love. How to love. Is how that wisdom comes in to show people, if I just tell you I love you and don't have a correlating action, because love is action. Faith is action. I believe God told me to do such and such. Alright? Then move on it. Well, I don't know. I just want to see how these things are going to work out. Well, then keep that to yourself. And God, and don't espouse that God said something, because what you're doing is you're making God a liar by trying to weigh the condition. Either it's by faith you're going to do this, and he always rewards obedience. If you step out on the word of God, what he tells you to do, he will reward your obedience. Always. That's what a father does with a child. Or, if you're disobedient, what happens, Jess? You get corrected, right? Amen. 4, we blame others for the results of our self-determination to a certain degree, want them to take the necessary changes so we can live a life the way we want. In other words, if it doesn't work out the way I think, it's somebody else's fault, and I want them to take responsibility. So I guilt them so I can live my life of selfishness and self-determination. Is that the way God works? No. That's what the whole case for repentance is all about. We're taking responsibility for ourselves. 5, self-determination is the root of our problem of sin by eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When we decide what is good or what is evil, we've already eaten from the fruit. When we decide based on God's word, we choose life or death. And he always gives us life, and life abundantly. And the more we continue to do this, our life begins to start touching other lives. Because the love of Jesus is coming out. Adam and Eve didn't do that. Adam and Eve thought it was a great idea. Adam stood there watching this thing go down, and he didn't cover Eve with the word of God. It's great to be the man of the household. After all, I'm the king of my castle. You do what I want. Essentially, that's what happened here. We're to do what God says. And he tells us that if you want to be great in your home, you got to serve everyone in your home. And some of us struggle in that. We only go so far because that's what we have faith for. That's okay. But you don't stop there. You continue to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work. if we are maintaining our rights and we're the ones that are trying to determine the life we have in Jesus Christ, we call that sin. Because any decision outside the Word of God is rebellion to God. We're citizens into a new kingdom now. And God's okay because He's transitioning us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, although our spirits have already made that transition. It's this warring inside that is manifested on the outside. How so? Example. When we're squeezed and we make decisions not based on the Word of God and we're squeezed, a lot of ugliness comes out. We say things that are harmful and injurious to our fellow brothers and sisters, people we supposedly love. Because we want what we want. Because we think we know. We think that we know better than God. And nobody can tell us different. Not even God has that right to tell us. And we stand there shaking our fist in defiance to God. And the war continues in. And how do I know that the war is going in? We don't have any peace. We don't have any peace. You see, the way I look at believers are takers and givers. And there are more takers than givers. I tend to be a giver. And I wrestle. But when I know the wrestling's done, because I knew I did what God had told me to do, I have peace. I have peace. That's how you know you're walking in the Spirit. That's how you know you're walking in righteousness. That's how you know that you're good with each other. You have this peace. And it passes anything that I try to comprehend. It's not the peace that the world gives me. It's a peace that Jesus leaves in me. And He wants to leave in you. Knowledge about God is driven by a religious spirit that murders our faith with the reliance of external sources. The thing is, with this kind of fallen knowledge, it perpetuates our sinful behavior. It perpetuates self-determination. Many believe that having biblical knowledge is akin to their spirituality. And I know people that are very, very knowledgeable. They don't know a thing about the realm of the Spirit. Theologians have their ABCs after their name and stuff. But they have no idea what's going on. They think they do, but it is a spirit of religion. Then we have another believer who doesn't get into the Word because they feel that if I'm not in the Word, I can't be held accountable. I can still do what I want to do. And if you're that kind of believer, you're not exonerated from that. Ignorance is not bliss. You'll just be beaten with a few stripes, but you'll be beaten. God holds us responsible. He has liberated us, but He has given us responsibility for our spiritual maturity, our spiritual giftings, because the reason behind it is not that people would look at me as something, but what I can give to somebody to edify them, to encourage them, to build them up, to exhort them unto good works and to faith. If I love God, I would do these things. If I love myself, I would do those things, but check me out is the motivation. Look at what God's doing with me. See how spiritual I am. I speak in tongues. Well, the scripture shows us that the one who prophesies is more important than he who speaks in tongues. And then there's those who believe in the grace of God that covers the sins and are not responsible anymore for what goes on. They're still free to live their life as such. And as I explained back in December about the tithe, the gift of grace is given to us to do more, not less. It enables us to take that responsibility seriously before our God. And we make decisions based on God's word. Why? That our lives would please Him. Everything that we do is to please God. And if what we're doing doesn't please God, there's something wrong here. And the warring continues. The evil of self-determination in this day and age is what the spirit of Antichrist is after. And he is in the church presently. How can I say that? Well, there's a lot of false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false pastors, false evangelists, false elders, false deacons. Why? Because their motivation is based on self-determination, not what God has spoken. I'm to lay down my life for the flock. Just as Jesus laid down his life, I'm to lay my life down. And I do. But what happens when you have people who come together with this like-mindedness of self-determination? What happens? What happens is they all start mingling together. They all start talking. You know, you ever heard that expression, birds of a feather flock together? It's really true. And what happens is these are individuals of corrupt minds who are devising solutions to enslave you and me while they profit. And I call that government. Because when you start getting people together for the sole purpose of I can relieve you of your earthly dilemmas. I'll take care of you. I'll make decisions for you. You just relax and chill and go find yourself. Spend time in whatever you want to explore, whatever thing that is laid upon your heart. Do this. And that is what is happening right now throughout the world. This spirit of Antichrist is duping people into believing that if I give a little bit of my freedom, they'll take care of my need. I was at the dinner with Pastor Mike and Suzette Friday night, and she was telling me something that was really pretty interesting that I did not know, but I had thought about. And that was, Miss Suzette works and does tax returns and stuff, and she filled out this lady's tax return, and she wasn't getting back the money that she expected. And so she became belligerent. And Miss Suzette tried to explain to this woman that, well, you went to Obamacare, and you purchased insurance. Yeah, but they subsidized me. They did this, they said that. And all I had to do was pay $100 a month. Okay? Here's the catch. Here's the hook. They subsidized you, which is correct. But in your tax return, they took all the money that they subsidized this woman to pay for Obamacare. And she was furious. I said, that's what happens when wicked men tell half-truths, because people's hearts are about self-determination. If I get this, because it's free, you categorize it, whatever's free, then my tax return is going to be exponentially the same. Well, you know what? They duped you with this card trick into believing that you were getting something free or a very low cost to you. The reality is there's no free lunch. It just so happens that you're paying for a belief system that's not godly. It's not. It's God's responsibility to take care of us, not the government. And so that's why anarchy, rebellion to authority, lawlessness is encouraged to be expressed in society today. That we want to express our rights, and how many of us, our kids, tell us, I know my rights. Jess, have you ever used that one on Mom? Dill, have you used that one on Mom? Gary Michael used it on us. Okay. I know my rights. And I'm working all day on a day like this. I'm working. I come home, it's late, and I said to Irene, I said, how's things going? She said, go talk to your son. Ooh, you know that's bad news. when you're directed to your kid, there's an ownership issue that's been brought up. And so I go into Gary Michael and I say to him, Gary, what's going on? How's things going on? Mom's a little miffed with you. He goes, well, you know, I learned some stuff today in school, and I learned about rights. I said, okay, well, fill me in. He says, you know, I have the right for this and that, you know, under the Constitution and all this other stuff. I have rights to be treated in decency and respect and high of demands. I said, well, where's your responsibility? What? I said, you have rights. Where's your responsibility? He goes, they didn't say that. They just told me I had rights. I said, well, let me give you a real good civic lesson. I said, you live here. Do you like living here? Yeah, it's great. You know, they kept on saying after everything, I know my rights. I said, okay. I said, you live here in our house, your mother's house and mine, and you live under a benevolent dictatorship. I said, do you understand what that means? And he goes, kinda. I said, it means that I'm king, your mom's queen, you have no rights. I said, if you want your rights, then there's responsibilities with those rights. And I said, what comes along with those responsibilities is if you like to live here, I said, we're going to charge you $1 a day for rent. Mind you, his allowance was $5-6 a week. So we're going to charge you $1 a day for rent, 30 cents for every meal that you eat. You do your wash, $1.50. You know, escalating. I said, you know your rights. He goes, yeah, yeah. And what you're saying is not fair. I said, oh, it's completely fair. I said, if you want to exercise your rights, you have responsibilities that are with that. I said, if you want to live under my dictatorship, I pay for all that. I take care of that. I'm going to go live with Grandma. Okay. Okay. You're going to go live with Grandma. I said, Irene, get Gary's suitcase. And we had one of these little tiny, I guess it's a makeup case. I mean, it was small. And he starts pulling his clothes out. I said, well, wait a minute. Is that yours? Yeah, I wear it. No. I paid for that. That stays. I said, everything that you paid for is yours. The only thing you could put in there was his Adidas shoes. I said, okay. I said, I wish you well, you know, going to Grandma. I said, when you get to Grandma's, the clothes that you're wearing, I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to let you have them. I said, but you're going to have to wash them every day until you're able to get a JOB and buy more. I said, but that's your right. The moral of the story was he capitulated. He understood responsibility with rights. And that living under someone else's care is great. We live under God's care. His provision. Everything that He wants us to do is for our good. When Adam and Eve fell, God's plan from the beginning was to restore us. When our kids make mistakes, we don't put our thumbs down on them and hold them under that. Our desire is to bring them to a place where they messed up, they learn from it, and they move forward. Our mess up had eternal consequences. And so God's plan of restoration was twofold. He wanted to restore each and every one of us, and He wants to restore the world under His governorship. In the beginning was only one family, one kingdom, one language. And God is in the process of two of those. He has restored us. He has given us a heavenly language. But He has given us the responsibility to fulfill the third. And that is to restore the earth back to God. For those of us who understand this, we exhort you. When Jesus died, He went to heaven. He stays in heaven. And according to Acts 3:21, it says He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through the holy prophets. Restore everything. We're being restored. We have a heavenly language. We're under a heavenly kingdom. He doesn't want us to flow in self-determination. To when? Revelation 11:15 says, "The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven, which said, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." That is a future event that is going to happen. And me saying it, I'm prophesying it into reality. These two steps are predicated on two things that we can do. We can either obey or disobey. We can either live by faith or live by sight. But Deuteronomy 28:1-2 says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow His commands, I will give you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the other nations on the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God." And then he lists, down to verse 14, all the blessings. Chapter 28 is a really good thing. But if we disobey, and we don't operate by faith, and we operate by sight and circumstances and emotions and all the other stuff, he continues in Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 15, he says, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow after His commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you." And then he gives a description from verse 15 to verse 68. He has 12 verses of blessings, and he has 56 verses of curses. And that's what happens when you choose. God says, you can have it. This is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to have in your life. And you're going to sow it and you're going to reap it. And you're not going to like it. For 2,000 years, the Lord has been working His plan of salvation out for us to understand. And the church is just beginning to emerge with the understanding that my allegiance, when I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is only relegated to my time here on Sunday service, right? No? How about on Monday? Is it good just on Mondays and here? No? Why not, Dan? Why isn't it relegated just to a period that I want? Lord of all. All that you are, all that you have, He's Lord. He gave it to you. Even the life that you have, He's given it to you. And He wants you to choose His way so that His life can prosper you. It's not a hard taskmaster. He's just smart. And this restoration is to restore us to the original estate that we had. Remember I said that a parent, that when we punish a child, make a correction of the child, we try to restore that child to the estate of when they fell down and made the mistake. It's never to take from the child. It's always to help the child learn. God has restored us so that all that He has blessed us with and all that He wants to do for us is contained in Genesis 1:28, which states, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to have dominion. I want you to cause the earth to submit to you. I want you to reign and rule. All these things He's giving back to us. And it is so incredulous to me when people say, that's not in Scripture. That's not what He wants. You don't know what God wants. You see, you don't understand. You don't understand how our Father wants to lavish us with blessings. Because His whole thing, if you read the last book of the Bible, you see that everything is restored. And we get to live with Him forever and ever in a new heaven and new earth. This is going away. And so you might as well start exercising the authority that He's given to you. You might want to start exercising the gifts that He's given to you, whether it's prophecy or administration or just child care. I mean, I don't want to be diminutive of any of it because all of it is important. In Romans, it says, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated His love for us in this way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by His blood, justification is declaring us not guilty by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved from through this life? Not only in this so, but also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. In other words, what He's saying is, God reconciled the world. When He died, He reconciled the world. And we were enemies to God. Somebody came along and told you, about the love of Jesus Christ. Somebody told you about what He wants to do. That He has a plan for you. And He wants you to be successful in everything that you do. But our success is not predicated on a part-time Christianity. We're either Christ or we're not. Hear me. You can't separate who you are in front of your friends and pretend that you're not in Christ. We call that hypocrisy. You can't act and behave the same way. You can't do the same things because now you're under another kingdom. Daddy gets to tell you what to do. You don't determine what to do. I don't determine what to do. I only do what God tells me to do. And sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I don't. And there are consequences to every decision that we make. But once we reconcile ourselves to Jesus Christ, the restoration process is going on. It's going on, going on. And we can either embrace it, or we can continue in disobedience to it. But it's going to happen. This leads us to our responsibility. We can either live a life of self-determination or a life of righteousness, a life that's pleasing to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10 says, therefore, we have this confidence and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one of us will be paid to do for the things we've done in the body, whether good or bad. We're armed with this truth. You've heard it. You've heard this truth. To be continuously disobedient with God is to stay as an enemy of God. And you lose. God never fails. Never. Is He mad at you? No. He's not mad at you. He's mad at the devil. He's mad at the Antichrist spirit. He's mad at the Leviathan spirit. He's mad at the Jezebel spirit. He's mad at the demonic forces that are trying to influence His kids to go away from Him. He is a jealous God. He loves you eternally. And He wants to let you know that He loves you so much to put peace in you. His peace. And that He will take care of us. Are you confident of this thing? Are you confident that you've been saved, sanctified, set apart? Or are you still living your life pretending that you're a Christian? You determine that. God gives you that freedom of self-determination. That's all you get. That's free. Everything else has a cost. And I want to tell you, to trust ourselves to a corrupt world with corrupt men and women who are influenced by demons, satanic forces that are bent on destroying you and to keep you from becoming that which God has called you to be, is insidious. If God is for us, who can be against us? We must conform to kingdom conformity. That is our responsibility. Principle 2 and 3. Become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking something that's not unreasonable. He's died, so it's reasonable. Principle 3. And no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. Can you see how deceptive it is when we don't know the Word of God? When we don't know the Word of God, we don't know His will. And we make mistakes. That's natural to us. As it is with kids. It's natural for them to make mistakes. And as I said last week, God reminded me, it was like me chasing after my grandson. I'm fixing up every disaster that he makes, and he's on to the next disaster. But God cleans up our mess. He promises that to us. Some of us have conditions of our faith. And I want to read you a scripture from Psalms. Hopefully it'll set you free. It says, I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. I don't know how God does it, but He does. As long as I'm obedient to do what he does, he promises to take care of me. And he does. And that's his promise to you. That you can be assured that if you do the things that he's told you to do without strings attached, just by faith, just do what he tells you to do without these strings, he promises to take care of you. That's what the scripture says. I don't know how he does it. But I can honestly say I'm not afraid to give my all and more for a kingdom and a king that will never end. This stuff is going to go one day. What are you holding on to? What do you expect from it if everything that you do is conditional? It's not love. Kingdom conformity means we have to have a mindset of the kingdom. We have to speak kingdom. We need culture of the kingdom. I don't care what background you came from. That culture is poisonous. The only one that gives us life is the life in the kingdom. Speaking kingdom, acting kingdom, behaving like kings and priests that we are. Doesn't he call us, you know, a nation of kings and priests, holy? We're here because of God, and only because of God. I can do nothing without God, and I am nothing without Him. And until you realize that for yourselves, and really wrestle with the truth that John 15 is going to be my reality. I'm part of His vine. He's the life. He's going to take care of me. He produces everything in my life. The job that I have is because of Him. The job I don't have is because of the decisions that I've made. The kids I have, God has blessed me. The kids I don't have, I've made decisions. The wife I have, the spouse I have, are based on decisions that I've made and not made in God. God is here to set you free, to liberate you from the junk that is holding you and keeping you from going to the cross and killing it once and for all. I sat with Nolan one day and he was talking about things. And I said to him, you know, I've run into friends of mine that tell me things that I did in my younger life that I can't remember. If I look back, I can't see past the cross. I can't see that stuff. Because my mind has been renewed that my Father doesn't see those things. He doesn't want me to remember them because He doesn't remember them. Set yourself free. Give it to God. And live for Him. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You, God, that You put these pieces together for our comprehension. I ask, O God, that You have this endearing patience with us, God. We want to really, truly say we love You, God. We truly want to say that You're my all in all. The fact of it is, God, we haven't allowed You in to be all in all. Your kingdom is real, God. You're the real King. You're the real deal. Help us to love each other. Because our motto is John 13:35. And they shall know that You are my disciples by the love You have one for another. Let us not just love in word, but let us put love in action. Let us put faith in action, God, so that we can bring glory to you. Because that's all that matters, God. That whether we're in the body or out, that we glorify you in everything that we say and do. I ask you, bless your people today, God, with safety and return to their homes. But more importantly, God, Holy Spirit, stir our hearts to begin to conform to you and your will. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.